Okay, let's see how you did. The lesson today was designed to cause you to look within and to evaluate your own spirituality and maturity, growth, development, those kinds of things, okay? And building up on Acts chapter 21, verses 17 through 40, was a lengthy text that we were unable to kind of encapsulate in sermonic form, replete with a subject and an introduction, so on and so forth, because the text actually spans over several of the oncoming chapters. It's a storyline in progress, and so we have not yet arrived at the peak of what's going on in the passage. Okay, so it's like playing a game with four quarters in it, and you're only in the first few minutes of the first quarter. Okay, so we're unable to give a scope of the entire four quarters because we have not come to them yet. Hopefully that kind of helps you to understand what we were up against on Sunday. But on preparation, it should provide you great comfort to know that your life is not a loosely connected, barely related, thinly presented hodgepodge of miscellaneous events. Contrarily, God allows all of what you experience, as disconnected as they may seem, to contribute to your preparation and development. What are you experiencing? What are you feeling? What are you learning about you, about life, and about others? What is God allowing to irritate you? What particular thing can you point to? What do your irritations say about you? Hopefully, your irritations say that you are spiritual and not carnal. If you are a mature Christian, then unchristian things irritate you. Unchristian behaviors irritate you. But if you are not irritated by the lack of spirituality around you, and if you're irritated by carnal things, kind of like a kid throwing a tantrum, just want his or her way, then that's not good. So what do your irritations say about you? What do your irritations say about your outlook on life? How is God utilizing all of what you're experiencing to commit you to your life's purpose? How is God utilizing all of what you're experiencing to commit you to your life's purpose? See, everyone who is saved has been given a gift, and every life has a purpose. Now, every human life has a purpose, but most humans live their whole lives and never work within the parameters of their purpose. And so a lot of times it's just a wasted life, a wasted existence. But everything that you experience should help to commit you to your purpose so you can satisfy the will of God for your life during the time that you have on this earth. What have you learned in the past that has helped you in the present? What is prophetic expression? Prophetic expression, in today's terminology, is sound doctrine and preaching that comes from the Word of God. What is God saying to you through a sermon or a scripture to prepare you for what's next? What is God saying to you? Are you noticing a common thread in what you're hearing from the pulpit? And it doesn't have to be a common thread. It could be, you know, how is God informing you so as to prepare you for what's next in your life. Paul was bilingual. Understand this. Paul learned languages in his past that prepared him to be used of God in his future. Please understand that you are being prepared right now. What you are going through now will help you later. What life lessons can we learn from Paul? What life lessons can we learn from how Paul used his knowledge of languages? So when he was a younger man, he learned these languages and did not know how they would actually come to play or how he would utilize them. Why did he use different languages? So that he could be relatable to different audiences. To whom did he speak? What? He spoke Greek to the captain. That's in verse 37, and he spoke Hebrew to the people. Number four, given the true definition of communication is to share meaning, when has communication actually occurred? When the parties understand. Okay. Number five, on confusion. While God is not the author of confusion, confusion does have an author, exclamation point. Number six, confusion has no rhyme or reason save to cover the truth. In the place of cover, you could have hide or conceal. All that would be correct. On reputation, number seven. In this text, Paul had a bad reputation with good character. So then choose good character over good reputation. Paul had a bad reputation because the unbelieving Jews lied, accusing Paul of forsaking the law of Moses and giving unwarranted access into the temple to Trophimus, a Gentile. Hopefully, this lesson was good and helped you. God bless you. This is Pastor Morris. Bye-bye.